All right, welcome back to the Hurt Locker Rugby Podcast. We're back after a short holiday break and we're also waiting for Kit then, but it was actually horrible timing considering we just rolled out our first episode in Jan 30. Anyway, we're back locked in and ready to roll on some gun content for the rest of the 2025 season. Thanks for tuning in. This is the very first episode of the Weekly Wrap, our new segment, which will be dropping weekly. And it'll be recorded every Wednesday when the team lists do drop. And obviously, there's enough rugby news in and around this time anyway during the week, which means any new topics coming around, we can get amongst it on this podcast. You will have to bear with me sometimes this year. I still have uni and work to juggle with, so I'll try my best to get as consistent as possible, and I'll try and drop it on Wednesday nights. But at the latest, every Thursday morning around 4 to 5 a.m., I'll have it for you guys ready. So on the way to work, training, uni, anything like that, check it on the aux or your earphones, and you'll be able to listen to the Wednesday wrap to get everything to do with the Super Rugby team list or any rugby news going on at that time. For now, it's only going to be audio, but trust with some of the plans that we have. I'm talking to some people at the moment, and hopefully by the end of the month or maybe 2 months' time, we'll have different people in and around Oz and NZ. We'll get them online. Well, I'll get them online. We'll record some content similar to what I'm doing exactly now. And I'll kind of base it around that First Take on ESPN style show. And we'll, you know, get that sports coverage, well, rugby related, for you guys here on the Hurt Locker. Before we get started, we want to give a quick thank you to the main sponsor of the podcast, our good local friends, Freedom Internet. None of this would be possible without them. All our kit provided in to bring this content to you. Go to freedominternet.co.nz for all things related to commercial and residential internet, helping you and your family to stay safe and protected on the internet. Now, let's get stuck into game one of round four in the Super Rugby 2025 season. Let's go to the Blues, who are playing the Brumbies on Friday night. Let's go over to the team list. So have a look. So in at number one, we've got Josh Fusitua. Number two, a hooker position, Ricky Riccatelli. Three, Angus Ta'aval. Patrick Tuipulotu goes in at four. Josh Beer at five, my brother. Cam Christie, just after his debut last week, goes in to get his starting posse at six. Anton Segner goes in at seven, and Cameron Swafford goes in at number eight. Connecting the back line and the forwards, number nine, Finlay Christie goes in. Bodie Barrett goes in at the 10 jersey, AJ Lamb at 12, Rico Ioannidis at 13, and for the back three, we've got Caleb Clark on the left wing, Mark Talia on the right wing, and Cole Forbes in the back. On the bench, Nathaniel Bolle gets a second cap. Congrats to the ref for getting named in there. Ofa Tuungafasi goes in at 17. Marcel Renata on at 18. Tristan Cook, the debutant, at number 19. My brother Shea Clark, as you guys already know, here on the Hurt Locker in at 20. Looking forward to watching him get on the field. Sam Nock is in at reserve on 21. Harry Plummer goes into that spot at 22. And Corey Evans finishes off the list at 23. So yeah, as you saw, Vren Cotty has made five changes to this week's lineup after the W last week. Josh Fusitua and Angus Ta'aval get the opportunity to start in the front row. Cam Christie gets a starting opportunity after his debut last week, so congrats to you, Brad. Just to let everyone know, he's 21. Him and Nathaniel Pauley lining up for a second cap is just crazy, 21. But you know, on that note, it's good to see super franchises kind of trusting the young ones again, because for a minute it felt like only the NRL was going to trust their young superstars to get amongst in the top sides. But now we see with some situations like this, a team trusting in that, a young gun. Yeah, it's good to see. Hoskins gets handed his consequence by the Super Rugby judiciary this week. So he'll sit out three games, which gives, obviously, Cam Swafford the number eight jersey. And Cam has been bloody super consistent. And so, you know, he may not hold the X-Factor type that a lot of the Facebook couch potatoes have been saying in the comment sections, etc. But, you know, what I'll say about Cam is he'll win collisions like he's done for the first three games he's played this year. His defense is his biggest part. In 2025 to date, he's made 44 successful tackles with only two players above him, and that being the captain, Dalton Papali'i, who unfortunately got injured, and Ricky Riccatelli, who's in fine form, the best form actually I've ever seen him. Both players with more minutes as well to say. So to back that up, he's also drawing second in carries, and so at a bare minimum, we can't question his work rate. I think Cam's going to have a gun game this weekend, and so I'm excited. I think he's going to kill it, so we'll see what he does. Anton Segner, he gets in his nod in at number seven to miss Dalton Papali'i, who's out with a head injury. Now, No knock on Anton, this next bit's about Dalton, but, you know, it's quite a miss for the Blues boys. Dalton's been working real overtime in the past couple of weeks. It's crazy to see this engine. You know, he's known for having an engine, a big engine, since we're young. Since we've seen him in at St. Kent's, and all the way to now, we've just known him for just going and going. And so for that to get even bigger in 2025 is kind of scary times. Some of his stats, 50 successful tackles for the season so far. He's second in the squad for that stat. He's had 3 successful turnovers, 4 defenders beaten, and he's only missed 3 tackles. So, yeah, like I said, that work rate is crazy. And, you know, to miss his presence and leadership this weekend, I think just considering the experience of him and Hoskins is out, that in itself removes 50 All Blacks tests from the combined team. And now, obviously, if you stack up like guys like Rico and their tests, and then even for the players that aren't going to take the field, just having them at training, it's obviously still huge. But that in itself is a lot of experience missed for this weekend. And it's going to be a hard game. So, you know, what it does give is it gives Anton Segner a really good platform to kind of show what he's about. He's a workhorse as well, and he's a toilet. So I think it's an opportunity for him to, you know, show that he doesn't belong in second place. He can prove his versatility this weekend, and there's no better time to do so against a strong Brumbies side. Cole Forbes moves over to the 15 position with Bodie back at 10. And after his gun performance last week, can't wait to see Bodie start back in that jersey. I feel like, you know, this is the direction the Blues need after the first two rounds, especially. Moments win games, and as we found last week with him igniting that gangster aerial by Mark, that try that Mark got in the corner, Bodie has that cool, calm, and kind of collected energy to hopefully be the gel that's needed in between the forwards and the backs, getting that groove going for the boys. Plummer's impact off the bench, you know, that's also a real good kind of idea. I think that direction going forward is actually going to really help the Blues, especially going against the hard teams, as, you know, sometimes games plateau, especially from that kind of that 40 to 55 minute period. And, you know, for, I guess, some of the positional questions we have going around, I mean, it's kind of interesting if you look at the bench. You know, you've got Bodie, I mean, in the second half, obviously, Vern's going to have a look at Harry Plummer coming back on for that impact, like I said before. Where does he slot in? I'm not too sure, because AJ and Reeks have been playing big time together, and their defense is also locked in, so I don't think those two will go off. So it's either Cole Forbes goes off, Bodie goes back to 15, and I think Plummer will slot into that 10 position, because it also doesn't make sense to swap out any of the midfielders, nor really the outsides, because the two outside, well, wingers are at least doing real well. And Corey Evans is on the bench as well. So Corey's obviously, like I've said in the podcast earlier in the year, Corey's locked in as well. So I don't think Bodie will be going in anywhere else. And I don't think Harry Plummer has any other space to really go into the side at that point. And then looking at the young gun, Tristan Cook gets his debut. I did message the bro tonight, and he sent a nice message back. I just wanted to congratulate him. But, I mean, oh, did I say before he's 21? No, he's actually 20. Oh, my God, and he just turned 20. Yeah, but, yeah, you know, congrats to Tristan. I'm super excited to see what he brings to the table and what he represents. He's gone through all the age grades. He's pretty much ticked them all off, you know, the NZ20s, etc. I think he captained the Blues under-20s last year. So he's gonna go real well. I'll reach out to him before the game on Saturday, and I'll try and get him on a call or something to just get you guys a little insight into how he's feeling. Let's see, players to watch for this game. Ricky Riccatelli, I think he's in for another huge game. If you look at his Super Rugby fantasy stats, he's been killing it. If you just look at his kind of, you know, if you do the eye test, because I think, well, most people these days are doing the eye test, he's been performing out of his skin. I reckon he's in for another big one, and he's one of my All Black Smokies if you base that off the first three games we've seen this year. I mean, Riku Ioane, I reckon he is in for a big game as well. Obviously, he plays the Brumbies, and if you look at the Brumbies midfield, they've got David, let's see, David's at 12, David Feluai, and Len Ikitau. They'll be in at the midfield for the Brumbies. So, you know, I mean, Len Ikitau, he's solid, and he's a good defender as well. I mean, that's kind of that avenue will be quite hard to break through, depending on how fast the Blues can get their set piece and their plays. But I think Reeks is in for a big time. His experience is going to show at this point, considering guys like Dalton is out, and then, you know, even on the bench, you got Steven Perfetta and those boys that are still out. So I think Rico, it's time to really stand up, especially considering that's kind of been the thing people have been saying in regards to leadership on the field. Oh, why doesn't guys like Rico step up? I mean, it's kind of annoying when you hear things like that, especially because, like, but I don't think those guys are lacing up their boots to get on. But, you know, I think Reeks is due, his time's due, and I think he's in for a big one this weekend, so I can't wait to see that one. So, yeah, that's my Blues wrap-up for that. Let's move on to the Chiefs. So the Chiefs, they're going to go travel up into Fiji this weekend and line up against the Drua, the Drua's Kingdom of Churchill Park in Lotoka, and that will be on Saturday. And their Coach McMillan has made 7 changes for the Chiefs. Ollie Norris and Samisoni Tokiaho join the front row along Dyer. Manaki Sabi Rickett gets the nod in at lock, with Josh Lord out, unfortunately, with a knee injury. Kalen Boshier replaces Jerome Brown in at the open side flanker position, with Jimmy Tupou sliding in at the 8. And Simon Parker will still be in the squad, loading on the bench, which is scary hours for those who don't know a lot about Simon Parker. But you should have, considering watching that Crusaders game a couple weeks ago. D-Mac gets cleared of injury, but that's a well-earned rest here. And we're happy to see that, because hopefully he can rehab that well. Because we still obviously have a couple months before that All Black season kicks off, where we want to see that fine form we've seen early on from Damian McKenzie. Let's just go to the lineup for the Chiefs. And as we look over here, we have got Ollie Norris in at number 1, Samisoni Tokiaho in at hooker, George Dyer's in 3. And now in the locking positions, Tupou Va'i, he'll be at 5, with Manaki Sabi Rickett in at 4. For the loose trio, we've got Sami Benifinou in at 6, Jimmy Tupou at 8, and Kalen Boshier in at the 7 position. In the back line for the Chiefs, Cortez Ratama starts us off at number 9. Josh Jacob, the Sacred Brothers, in at 10. Kunsupaya and Anton Leonard-Brown will be the midfield for the Chiefs this weekend. And for the back three, we've got Bumfa, Leroy Carter on the left wing, and Daniel Rona on the right wing, with Emoni Nadua leading from the back. Over to the scary bench we've got here. Bradley Slater in at 16. Jared Prophet takes 17. Ruben O'Neill in at 18. Naitoa Arkoi at 19. Simon Parker in at number 20, who I love at the moment. Malachi Rampling Alec gets his debut, well, potential debut this weekend. Congrats to the bro on that one. Xavier Rowe at 22. And Shooter Stevenson gets his time in back from Japan. And so when you have a look at all of that kind of stuff, it's looking like a bloody good game coming this weekend for the Chiefs versus the Fiji Drua. I read the lineup, and, you know, when I first saw it, I was kind of like, ooh, it looks like it's going to be quite... I was leaning a lot towards the Chiefs until I read the weather report, and it looks like it's raining, and that means the game might get real messy, which actually does favor the Drua, in my opinion. Obviously, there was an injury concern earlier in the week around D-Mac. It's the same knee from 2019, which obviously took him out of that World Cup. But, you know, they said it was just bone bruising. Well, that was what Roger Randall, the one of the coaches from the Chiefs, said. He said he went in for a scan, and fortunately, it's not too bad. That's what he told Stuff. I spoke to him the next morning, and he said he was feeling pretty good as well. So the scan kind of just confirmed that. So that's all green signs for not only you Chiefs fans, but all the Kiwis that are going to support the All Blacks later in the year, because we kind of need him back in that 10 jersey. Debut, Malachi Rampling. Congrats to Malachi. I did talk about him a bit and elaborated on how excited I was to get his opportunity the season earlier in my season preview with Cedric. But he's got his opportunity now. If he gets on, it's just his chance to kill it. He's a super physical player, good around the breakdowns, good with the ball in hand, because he's actually very fast for a forward. And so this is all opportunity for him. I hope he takes it in two hands and runs, and I think he will do that. And then the return of Shooter from Japan's Kubota Spears. He's a spark and kind of one of those players that's just really going to get the ball. Once he gets the ball, he's probably going to get a couple of tries. He's going to do some crazy stuff. He kicks, he runs, good defense. I mean, yeah, look, Shooter does just about everything on the pitch. So I assume we're going to see his fantasy stocks rise over the next couple of weeks. I'm not sure what his percentage of ownership is at the moment, but I'm sure that's just going to climb as we go on. It's looking like it might rain, like I said before. So that does kind of, that does favor the draw, because it does mean it kind of mess it up. And because of that weather dependency, you know, the speed of the game is kind of in question at the moment. Obviously, if it's dry, it would be a bloody fast game, because the Chiefs, their ruck percentage is huge. It's in the late 90s. And so all they've been doing is getting clean ball, giving it out, dishing it out through either Xavier Rowe, Cortez, Ratama, giving out to Josh Jacob. We've been putting on silver platters for the midfield boys, and they've had some of the they have had the best platform, which has helped them score all those points in the last couple of weeks. But considering it might rain, I think there might be a couple of messy errors in this game. It might ruin the Chiefs' game plan, to be fair, like I said, because you know the first three on the trot have all been about speed of the ruck, their agility of the players and their individual skills, ball skills and clean platforms. But, you know, the rain means a whole lot of naturally skilled boys like the Fiji Drua, they'll give them a good battle up front and in the backfield because, obviously, being at home in Lotoka, Fiji won't change. They'll still play for their home fortress, offloading, running, just doing straight Fiji style. So that will be quite tough, especially if it's raining like the weather report says it will. The Chiefs, all they'll have to do, though, is they'll just have to adapt to the style of play, depending on how it goes this weekend, and just win the collision area. If they can win the collision area, they'll be able to try and manipulate the rucks to get that speed of ball and speed of play that they need. And at that rate, if they can get that, it kind of fills out for them and they might be able to get an easy win. But nothing's come too easy this season in Super Rugby, as we know, so we can only see from there. If they don't get up in the faces of the Fijians, like mentioned before, two-man tackles especially, one high and one low, because of the amount of offloads the Fiji Drua have managed to get off this season, it's going to be a bloody long day in the office. So let's see what it goes. Let's go. Players to watch for this game. The number eight, Meli Dedenalangi, the number eight for the Fiji Drua. This is some of his stats. He's played back-to-back 80s. He's got four clean breaks, five offloads, three turnovers with 20 carries. The bro has been working straight OT. And if you watch, he's one of the players that runs with the ball in one hand, even though he's right in the midst of about the whole forward pack of the other team. So I'm keen to see him, Dedenalangi, go off this weekend. I'm really interested to see how he goes, especially against young Jimmy Tupou in there. But obviously also when the bench comes on with guys like Simon Parker, so that'll be interesting to see how that goes. And the next person in the Fijian team that I want to see, Punipate Longimasi, the number 11 left winger. Three tries he's got this season, 15 carries, six clean breaks. I mean, six clean breaks is nuts. Six defenders beaten, two offloads, one turnover, and a whole lot of chip and chases. I mean, this guy is going to be on fire this weekend. That also being weather dependent, but I think, you know, like I said before, I don't know if the weather's going to be, or well, Ali, I don't know if the weather's going to change too much of how the Fijians will want to play. Players I want to watch in the Chiefs, Cortez Ratama, he's going to be the base of this game. The Chiefs stats at the moment in the first three games, they've got 16 tries, 1,691 meters gained for run meters with the 101 beaten defenders. Holy moly smokes, that is crazy. Ratama gets his chance to find weak spots in and around the breakdown this game where the Drua might, you know, have those little lapses. And so he's got, you know, the luxury of an in-form world-class midfield on the outside of him as well. So he's got so many options this weekend that that's not only going to make his stocks grow in regards to getting that All Blacks 9 spot, but also it's going to help him for this game to try and get past those Fijian defenders and just the brutality and the style of gameplay that will be coming this Saturday. The next man, Quintu Paia. Three tries, one try assist, 33 tackles, 204 meters and carries, seven line breaks, and two offloads for the seasons to date. I made the mistake a couple weeks back where I took him out of my fantasy team, and all of a sudden the bro chucks up 90 points. I mean, holy smokes, the bro is killing it. I'm obviously going to chuck him back in my fantasy team for this week, and I think you have to. I would actually be interested. I should have got up his stat for ownership, but nonetheless, good on him for getting that all in that team. Let's look at the next one. Predictions. The Chiefs are going to get an ugly win. I think that's kind of my prediction, just with that being with the weather warnings at the moment, well, the rain. And so I know that the Drua at home, and I know that the Drua have been putting up some crazy fights. But I just see the Chiefs winning this one. But close. And I'm going to put it at 1-12. The next game that we have is the Moana Pacifica versus the Hurricanes. Moana gets another home run in Albany, which I'm going to be going to. So if anyone's there, come and say hi. I don't even know why I just said that, because it's not like thousands of people listen to this. Anyway, This game is going to be bloody good. It's almost a game of the round for me. Captain's clash against his old team. And this is on Saturday at 7:05 p.m. Like I said, up at Albany. Moana Pasifika have kept it quite consistent for this lineup with only two changes, really. We'll go over to the team list now. So if you have a look, number one, James Lay. Number two, Mills Sanirivi, my brother. Sione Mafileo goes on in at three. At four, Tom Savage. Alan Craig goes in at five. And number six, Miracle Failangi. And number seven, the skipper, Ari Savea. And number eight, the guy I did, I literally predicted this. I said in the preseason preview, I said, I hope and I know he's good enough, because after watching him in Southland last year, I said Simisi Tupouta Ailoa should be the number eight, and I think he's good enough to put Ari at seven, and what's happened in the last couple of games, that's been the case. It might be the Oracle, but I'm not going to claim that Oracle because my fantasy team is doing straight trash. We go over to the number nine position. Jonathan Tomasini gets in at nine. Patrick Pellegrini gets his starting position here at 10. Danny Tuala goes in at 12. Lalomilo comes back, and it's good to see him back because I thought that head injury he got would have been worse, but it's good to see him recovered and back into play for this weekend. In the back three, we've got Kyron Taumoifalaoma also in at number 11. On the right wing, Solomon Alaimaloa, and in the back, William Havili. Now, some of the key matchups we see, I mean, if you have a look, it's kind of a mentor versus mentee battle. Ari Savea goes against Peter Lakai. That's going to be huge. Those collisions will be huge. Simisi Tupouta'iloa goes against Braden Yose. That's another banger. Honestly, it's kind of like, this is like one of those boxing events going on. It's one of those stacked cards. Heaps of matchups in and around the field, but I think those two matchups in particular are going to be huge. If it's anything like the one we saw last week with Ari Savea versus Jim Tawatawa Navai, I think it's going to be, honestly, it'll be one of the best all-time clashes we see. It might be kind of like those vintage rugby videos you see where those old boys were just bashing each other. So this one will be huge. Can't wait to see that one, especially live as well. If you look up at the lineup overview, Patrick Pellegrini comes in for Jackson Garden-Bashup. It was my first time watching him play last week, actually, and geez, I thought he was real good. His kicks were on the dime. He was getting them straight through the middle, which unfortunately we did need a bit earlier with some of the missed conversions, but that's footy and that's how it goes. His footwork was pretty crazy. He doesn't look like the biggest lad, but I don't think it matters. Well, it doesn't actually matter in the league anymore because, you know, he makes up for it with his ball skills. And, you know, just watching him start this weekend is going to be huge to see if he's that connecting piece to kind of string together more of that good face play that Moana Pasifika need. Like I said, Lalomilo makes his return, replacing Pepesana Patafilo coming back from his little head knock. And then the other changes were just on the bench with Isaiah Halo, Abraham Pole, and Sam Mulli joining in with Samamalo, Tito, Tuipolotu, the nonchalant king. He and Milani Matavau all dropping out. So, the players to watch for this game, as usual, the skip, Ari Savea, he's going to go for another big one, especially because he's playing the same team. And that's, you know, I mean, watching some of his post-press conference interviews, I just don't think maybe he's playing it down a fair bit, but I think mentally he's definitely going to feel a bit upset playing against his old teammates. He represents Moana Pasifika now. Which obviously is a whole different avenue of play style for him and especially for his career. But he hasn't changed his leadership, his style, his play style. You know, he's kind of showing this different type of Ari, especially with his performance last week. So watch him. Yeah, just watch him this week. His fantasy might go crazy again for those people that have joined into the Hurt Locker's fantasy comp. So have a quick look at him. And picking him for this weekend. Simisi Tupouta'iloa, he's definitely one to watch for this weekend. He got a try last week in that kind of that tap and run play that they did. Patrick Pellegrini as well. I can't wait to watch him go. Like I just said before, it's going to be good to see if he's that missing piece for Moana Pasifika. It's going to be another tight one this game. It's all up to the bench for me and how much impact they can have when they get on the bench. Moana Pasifika, just for a fun fact, they've won 24-19 in the first meeting with the Hurricanes, that being back in round six. 2022. But since that, they've lost all their four meetings and conceded an average of 53.8 points across those last four losses. So hopefully they don't add to their tally, because I'm gunning for Moana to hopefully win this game. Each of the Hurricanes' last five Super Rugby games away from Sky Stadium have been decided by a margin of 8 points or fewer on the day, including three decided by a margin of 4 points or fewer, though the Hurricanes have only won two of those five games. So that's that in itself kind of makes it an interesting little look for those people that really do believe Moana is going to get away this weekend, because I think that opportunity is most definitely there. Let's move on to the next one, the Hurricanes. So the Hurricanes, like I said, like we've been talking about, because we just covered Moana, they're traveling up to their own island to play Moana. Let's go to the lineup for the Hurricanes. In at number one, we've got Sione Lauaki at hooker, Jacob Devery. Number three, Tavita. Okay, that's. Oh, yeah. At number three, Tavita Mafilio. At number four, Caleb Delaney. Number five, Isaiah Walker Liowede. And the loose three, Brad Shields at six, Peter Lakai at seven, and Braden Yose at eight. At nine, Edetiana Inari. At 10, Harry Godfrey. In the midfield, Peter Umanga Jensen and Baylon Sullivan, the King's boy. In the back three, we've got on the left wing, Kini Naholo. On the right wing, Ngatungane Punivai. And in the back, we've got Ruben Love. And then on the bench, we've got a potential debutant. So hopefully I don't butcher your name, mate, but I think your name, Nick Suchon, that's my guess. At 17, Xavier Numia. Pasilio Tosi goes in at 18. Hugo Plummer at 19. Duplessis Kirifi in at 20. Cam Roygaard, 21. Riley Hohepa, 22. And my bro, John Erova, in at 23. Look, seven changes by Coach Laidlaw here from last week. The whole new front row, Sione Lauaki, Jacob Devery, and Tavita Mafileo. Xavier Numia and Pasilio Tosi just slot back into that bench spot. Nick Suchon is in on the... Oh, no, I'm definitely butchering that. It just doesn't sound right. He's in for a potential debut, so congrats to him getting that spot there with the Canes. The weird one, yeah... Well, it's obviously tactical. Kirifi on the bench. Roygaard, you know, in at that nine position. And Fehi's back out with Punivai sliding in. And then, obviously, the return of Ruben Love, which is huge. Some of the key matchups I'll refer back in. Like I said before, you know, that Adi Savea versus Peter Laka is going to be huge. Samisi Tupouta Iloa. Versus Braden Yose is going to be big. And then one I'll chuck in there, Lalomilo versus Baylon Sullivan. That's going to be a big battle, which I need to talk about, because neither of the two have kind of out-and-out speed. And so it's going to come down to kind of that physicality battle between the two of them, which will be huge and which will be exciting for the both of them. And it's going to end up being kind of a tactical battle. So I'm excited to see those two go ahead. If you look at kind of this whole thing, I mean, this is obviously a bench play by Coach Laidlaw, Clark Laidlaw. I think if you look at it kind of like I covered on the bench, I mean, Xavier Numia on the bench, Pasilio Tosi, a new All Black on the bench, Duplessis Kirifi on the bench, Cam Roygaard, Riley Hohepa, John Erova. I mean, Jesus, like he's obviously spotted an opportunity for kind of that late impact, and whether that card is kind of the right card to play, we're going to see this weekend come game time. Roygaard's kicking game and Moana's kick return game. That's something I'm going to be looking at. If you look at the kick returns for Moana, they've been getting stuck quite a bit. And if they were trying to get out of being stuck, they'll just throw some real kind of just boot the ball down and hope it lands somewhere. Boot the ball down and just hope we get a rest or something, you know, just something like that. And so with Roygaard and those good kickers and guys like Harry Godfrey there, if they kind of pin those kicks into the right corners where the Seagulls are sitting, look, it's going to make it a hard game for Moana, and I think that's no doubt. But if Moana's kick return game is strong and if the back three play positionally correct and manage to win those games of force back that I know viewers don't like seeing, but it's part of the game, then Moana has a really good opportunity to have a bloody good crack this weekend, because, geez, as we saw last week, Moana is not giving in. They're not stopping. They've been putting in some good efforts, and obviously, like I said before, they're just not going to stop. Ruben Love, his controlling for the counter-attack. Now, one of the problems we spotted with Moana, especially with that Reds game, was the counter-attack got exposed. The Reds really just kind of, you know, when the Reds got the ball in hand after a kick, they would take those blind sides where people were still, you know, kind of hands on head, etc. With Ruben Love back there, Moana can't do that. He's too fast, he's too strong, he's too agile, and he's just too clever because he can kick the ball as well. So the Moana back three are going to have to be real on point, and I think they will be. Will Havili, he's got the brain, he knows what to do. And then guys like Solomon Alaimaloa, even though it's a homecoming year for him, back to the code. Look, his experience is enough, and he'll know what to do. Hopefully they communicate over to Kyren, because obviously, as we see, Kyren's natural ability is next to none. So hopefully they can unlock a good chemistry this weekend to try and get into the right positions in order to counter back some good defense after kicks, to try and stop guys like Ruben Love really kind of you know, getting on the backside of poor kicking decisions. Players to watch, Ruben Love. I mean, he's coming off an All Blacks debut season. He trains hard. He always does this thing. Like, you know, if you look at some of his social media videos, he goes over to Sydney and does sprint camps. I mean, there's not a lot of rugby players we see doing that. Well, not that I see on social media, at least. So that's going to be a good thing to watch for Ruben Love, see how fast he is, and just see how strong his rehab's gone. Because obviously coming back for injury for anyone, no matter what you do in life, is a risk, is risky business. So all the best to Ruben Love on his comeback game. Harry Godfrey, he's been controlling the Hurricanes very well. Now, although they've had a string of 10s go down, I think Harry Godfrey's been playing out of his skin. In fact, I would make him almost an All Black Smokey at this point, because obviously he's not, you know, really meant to be in that 10 spot. Not that what I think, at least in the previews. But, you know, he's in there and he's been performing bloody well. I mean, last week, with if you looked at that Fijian Drua try that he got, just kind of swinging in and around everything, using his feet to get around. He's got really good foot speed. So, really, really happy with Harry Godfrey's performance this year. It's going to be interesting to see how that all goes. Scrums, that's going to be huge this week. Moana's scrums have been good. They've been really good, actually. And so it's going to be good to see what this new front row can do, especially with young guys like Sione Lawaki in there. It's going to be good to see what the scrum battle's like this weekend. And then Johnny Rova coming off for a debut. Congrats, my bro, Johnny. If you don't know, he was down at the Crusaders last year. And so he's obviously gone up to the Wellington region to play for the Canes. And this weekend he gets to mark the opportunity. So keep an eye out for Johnny as he comes onto the field this weekend. Predictions for this game. Like I said, it's going to be a real tight game. It's just up to the bench. I mean, that bench play by not only Coach Laidlaw, but also, you know, with the bench, if you look at Moana's bench, I mean, Samamalor, Abraham Bolle, Chris Apoa, Samuel Slade, Ola Tawilangi, Isaiah Halo, Jackson Garden, Bishop, Tavita Orfa. They've got some killers in there that are real good. I mean, they're going to come on. I mean, those front rows that are coming on, they're really good scrummers, so that's going to be good. And you got guys like Jackson Garden, Bishop, who obviously is going to know a lot of these Wellingtonian boys, know how they play coming on in the back end of that game. Whoever the best bench is this game, I think we'll decide who wins this game this weekend. The Crusaders wrap, let's move on to them this weekend. Red versus Red battle, two major changes and for the Crusaders as they go in against the Reds. Coach Penny has put Cody Taylor, the vet, back, returning to action. And Dallas McLeod, an interesting change, slots in as center for Levi Almua. Some quick facts for this game. The Crusaders have an impressive record against the Queensland Reds in Super Rugby, held at their home ground specifically. They have won 13 out of the total 15 home games against the Reds, with their defensive being further highlighted by the fact that they have conceded less than 20 points in more than half of those games, which translates to 9 out of the 15 matches. So in 9 of those 15 matches, they conceded less than 20 points, which is quite restricted for another team scoring points in those games. Now, also the Crusaders, who are obviously a force in the Super Rugby Pacific, especially in the recent times. I mean, you know, especially with their seven stack, they've experienced a little bit of a dip in performance against Australian teams, because this fact kind of counters that first one. They have lost 5 of the last 6 matches against Australian opposition, including their last 2 consecutively. This downturn is a stark contrast to the previous dominance, where they had secured victories in 34 of their 36 games against Australian teams in the competition. And so, you know, this recent string of losses kind of highlights a little shift in the competitive landscape of the game and the comp, which is good for us, good for the viewers. Obviously not good for the Crusaders, but nonetheless, it's good for everyone to see that the Crusaders could be challenged in the end. But, you know, obviously staying in the fact that historically the Crusaders are bloody strong against the Australian sides. Let's go to the lineup review for the Crusaders now. And number 1, Tamaiti Williams. Number 2, the vet, Cody Taylor. Fletcher Newell goes in at 3, Scott Barrett at 4, Antonio Shalfoon in at 5. In the loose 3, Colin Grace at 6, Ethan Blackadder at 7, and Christian Leawili at 8. Number 9, Kyle Preston. Number 10, Ta Kemeda. My brother, David Havili at 12, Dallas McLeod at 13, and in the back 3, Seville Reese on the left wing, Shea Fiaki on the right wing, Will Jordan at fullback. On the bench, Joanne Moananu goes in at 16, George Bauer at 17, Sam Martinger goes in at 18, Taylor Cale at 19, Corey Callow at 20, another sacred boy, Mitchell Drummond at 21, James O'Connor back at 22, and Levi Almua, who got slotted out with the substitution in of Dallas McLeod, is in at 23. Now, note 4 of the next 5 games for the Crusaders, they're at Apollo Stadium, so they are lining up for a bit of a fortress run. And they were trying to make it kind of, you know, that they're going to try and lock it down, especially considering, like I said in that preview for the year, this is the last year they'll be playing at the stadium. So I think they're really going to try and knuckle down and try and string together a nice lot of dubs for the next 5 games. The local hero, Dallas McLeod, he's the biggest positional shift for the week. It's going to be interesting. It's an interesting call. I do semi-understand it, but... I think it's going to be good to see David Havili and Dallas McLeod's kind of combination, see what they can string together. And now I assume what's wanted by this is just quicker and faster ball delivery to get to the outsides, because obviously you've got guys like Seville Reese and Will Jordan on the backfield and then Shea Fihaki on the right side. So I think that might be the play here. But nonetheless, I'm excited to see what that does for the Crusaders this weekend. Some of the key matchups, geez. Wow, there are some big matchups this one. That is, you know, when I sorted out the matchups for this game, it kind of made me realize that this actually might be the game of the round as opposed to that Moana versus Canes game. Let me run through some of the matchups I'm really excited to see for this game. Christian Leawili goes up against Harry Wilson. Ethan Blackadder goes up against Fraser McWright. Dallas McLeod goes up against someone who has been on the wing recently, Filippo Dalgunu, which is going to be quite interesting to see. Both of them were in the outsides and now they've been moved into the midfield positions. Obviously Dallas just slots anywhere he wants, really. Hidemaya Murray plays against his old team, lining up against the golden boy Will Jordan. Tate McDermott goes against Cole Preston, which is going to be an amazing battle. It's going to be good to see. They both play a similar style, so it's going to be good to see how that goes ahead. And then the old boy, Alex Hodgman, going against Fletcher Newell. So like I said, those matchups are huge and bloody exciting for us to see this weekend. Players to watch, Tamaiti Williams. He's going to be a big one to watch this weekend. I think his ball-carrying ability has just grown this year, especially his ball-playing ability. It's good to see he's popped a lot more tip balls, which is just a little short ball to either your left or right, especially in those pod positions. But I think, you know, I think he's really ready and he's really grown in his game. I think maybe that All Black experience he's got recently has helped him grow, and just being in and around that environment as he grows and matures as a rugby player. But I'm really, really excited to see what he brings to this game, considering it's going to be one of those physical battles. In the matchup, I think Fraser McWright, I mean, if you are a fantasy player and don't have Fraser McWright on your team, you are crazy. Funnily enough, he is kind of like a Crusaders-esque kind of player. Hard worker, doesn't miss tackles, runs hard. Positionally, he's everywhere on the field. If you had like a hotspot map for him, he'd probably be red on the whole grid. So that's going to be a good player to watch for this matchup this weekend. Harry Wilson as well, similar. He just re-signed with, you know, the Wallabies and the Reds. So he's proving his point that he's here to stay. He's here to be. I think he is the captain of the Reds as well. So, you know, he's in there for a reason. He's re-signed for a reason. I think he's going to prove to everyone this year why he should be there and why he deserves to have that place. my brother Taha Kimura can take control here as well. So he's another player to watch for this game. I loved what I've seen from him this year. I think, you know, he's really maturing and growing into that position at 10. His skills are crazy. We've seen it as I grew up in touch, watching him throw the ball around. Now he gets to use those. Fast feet and the agility in on the rugby pitch in the professional environment. And I think he's just growing into it, like I said. And so watching him take control, hopefully, of this game this weekend will be huge. And obviously with guys like James O'Connor as well, who will know these Australian boys, know how they play, know kind of the Aussie way of playing. Well, insights into that at least. He'll whisper to Taha, you know, a couple little tips and tricks for this weekend's game. So he'll be well prepped for it mentally, physically. Taha's ready for this one. So I think he's going to have a huge inning this weekend. And then Will Jordan, yeah, look, you don't really need to talk about him too much. He's a freak. He's too smart for this game. He's going to be everywhere before you even know what's happening. So Will Jordan's going to be a massive one for this weekend. Predictions, I think the Crusaders are going to get it and pip them. It's going to go down to the wire, 1-12, 100%. I think it's a 1-12 kind of game. Just like, you know, a lot of the Super Rugby Pacific 2025 season has been. And so, yeah, look, 1-12, I reckon Crusaders get up. And if I was going to choose a man of the match for this game, I am actually going to go with Ethan Blackadder. Fraser McWright obviously is the big talking point of the league. And I think Ethan Blackadder kind of turns up this game and says, look, I want to be an All Black. I deserve to be an All Black. I've come off a hard year with injuries. Look, I'm back. And so this could be his statement game that Ethan Blackadder needs. Let's move into some of those questions. So I sent a little message to my DMs on the my Instagram story on the Hurt Locker, and I just asked for people to send in some questions. So let's go into those. Nate Salmon ironically asked a question saying, young guns getting a crack this week, what are your thoughts? And I sent him a message back and I said, Nate, this is a little ironical because you are a young gun in yourself, but like he said, he's 100% right in the fact that young guns, I mean, bro, it's crazy watching it. I mean, you know, like I said a bit earlier in that Blues one, it's good to see the Super Rugby franchises trusting their young players, because not only does it give kind of their players more time in the light to kind of grow and mature faster, but also it kind of gives players an opportunity to kind of grow character in the game, which is something that's been missing for quite a while in Union. So it's going to be good to see that get along. Tristan Cook will be one of those young guns getting a crack. And like we talked about, the bro is 20 and a young 20. So holy hecka. It's going to be good to see him get on and hopefully prove why he deserves to have that jersey and prove why he deserves to stay in the 23 for the Blues. And then, like I said, Malachi Rampling, he's going to be physical this weekend. He's going to be, you know, one of those tough nuts that just, once he gets on, you're going to see him run that ball. And so I'm excited to see those two boys have a crack this weekend. I'll flick both of them a message and try and get them on for kind of a review on Sunday maybe. So if you boys are listening, give me a buzz or open your DMs and reply back, because I'm probably in the wrong primary file. I got a message from the bro, Bradley Dolfa Fifita. Johnny Rova, what are your thoughts on Johnny Rova off the bench? Look, that's my bro, Johnny. Killer footwork, good defense, trust on the inside or out. He's going to slot in nicely wherever he does in the back line for the Canes. And so, you know, actually, I was wondering where he went. When I was doing the list earlier, it said Jonah was out for the Saders. And I was thinking, shit, I can't see him on any other list. So it's good to see him end up in another super team, and it's good to see him still in NZ. He'll cover it up for the Canes when he gets his opportunity, like he is this weekend. All right, another question by Melissa Tevin, living over in Oz. Miss you, boy. Let's see what his question is. Rico Ioane to the wing. Oh, yeah. Yeah, look, I 100% see why this would be a move. Look, in 2016, 2017, 2018, and 2019, that's kind of the Rico most people really want to see right now. It's kind of the vintage outside wing Rico, and it was bloody good to see it. In 2018, he had 10 tries. In 2019, he had 9 tries, which shows just how much execution he had in him then to finish off that good ball he'd get on the outside. But bear in mind, guys, at that time, George Moala and Sonny Bill were giving him that clean ball. So you don't get much better than that in regards to experience, skills, and prowess in the midfield to get clean ball on the outside. and opportunity on the outside. But look, this isn't related to Tevin. This is actually to kind of those Riku Ioane haters, because it is kind of getting on my nerves now, especially in the comment sections. Look, he's 27. People say you peak physically at 28. He's an 81-game test vet with the ABs. He's got 115-plus games for the Blues with a championship ring. He debuted for the All Blacks at 19. He's got 37 tries for the All Blacks. Resumes don't lie. And so, you know, I understand stats don't lie too, but don't forget that Rex is still him. He's still 13. He's still him. I understand the move to the wing, like a lot of people want him to. But I think he just needs more time to accommodate for the fact that there's just been constant movement in and around him at the Blues. 10s are never constant, 12s are never too constant, although AJ Lamb is really coming into that now. And I think it's just a matter of time before we pause. God damn. It's just a matter of time before we see him come back into form. And so, look, I'm really excited to see that, and hopefully it does come anytime soon. But, you know, like you said, Tev, I wouldn't mind at all seeing him slotted on the wing positions, but, you know, that kind of also kind of takes Caleb Clark or Mark Talia out of the game, which is just too much risk, I think, for the Blues. If you kind of look at their midfield position, if that move was to be made, the depth for the outside centers is kind of crazy. You've got, obviously, AJ Lamb in at 12. You could put Harry Plummer in at 12 and AJ Lamb as center. Xavier Taile, the young gun, future young gun, he's over there at the Blues as well. My bro Mehana Grinle, Big Shana, he's there as well. And Corey Evans would kill it there as well, like we've seen him do it before. So there's plenty of options, but for now he's not making any huge errors. So let's just see when time kicks in and when he decides to kick it into the next gear. Because look, he's Rico, he's still him, he's still the number 13, he's still that All Black 13. So let's see how he does going into the season, because he'll be back. Don't worry. I think Rex, he will be back. Let's see. Cedric, my brother Cedric, Mr. Let's Talk Sports. All Black Smoky so far. Ricky Riccatelli, he's right up there, bro. I think his work rate has been unmatched, and with a lot of the injuries around the hooker position at the moment, I think his consistency is going to work for him right now. If we take that off a read in the last couple games, I think he'll slot right in the All Black squad at the moment. Pardon me, Quintu Pai is right back in the mix along with Imoni Nadua. Although they are established kind of All Blacks, it's kind of, they've always been kind of the question mark to say All Blacks. So I think those guys, you know, with their current form right now, they're slotting straight back into the All Blacks. Harry Godfrey's all over at the moment for me. Now, I understand that might be a bit of a hot smoky, but Godfrey is going real well. His ball skills have been crazy. His speed, like I said, agility. Godfrey's in for another big season, so he's another smoky that I have for the AB squad. And Cole Preston, and now halfbacks. A lot of the halfbacks have been kidding. It's been on and off in regards to the health of a lot of the halfbacks. I think a lot of them are carrying a bit of niggle at the moment. And with Cole Preston's work rate, the Water Lad just released a potty recently, and gee, some of those stories. The bro used to do just two sets of press-ups, and it wasn't two sets of like 10 or 20s. The bro was doing two pretty much to the death. He said he used to cry halfway through some of those press-up sets he would do. So that has kind of paid off now, because, you know, his career really kicked off when he was 25. But Cole Preston is in that list for me. I think you can't leave him out. He's had a good NPC season last year, taking the Lions to a dub. And this year we've seen that, look, he's come on. Even though, you know, unfortunately for Marcel Noah, when he went off with the injury, Cole Preston had the opportunity to just go slot straight back in. And geez, has he done a number on that position. So good on you, Cole Preston. I think he's in there for a smoky so far. Alfie Dolfa. So let's see Alfie's question. A Drua upset against the Chiefs. He's still salty about the Chiefs dub against the Blues. Look, honestly, I wouldn't put it past the Drua. Like I said, it's going to be a tight match, especially if the weather does say what it's going to do. You just can't underestimate them, not with the way they play, their play style. You got to tackle them, put your eyes down. All of a sudden, the ball's on the other side of the field because they've just thrown about 50 offloads. Add on the fact that they're playing at home with their families in and around the pitch. I mean, yeah. Look, I wouldn't put it past the Drua. I think that the Chiefs will really have to step it up this week in order to make kind of that game at least somewhat of a easy win for them. They'll have to step it up another notch, even though they have been doing so for the past couple of weeks. But nonetheless, I think that will be, the way it'll go if the weather is a bit rough this weekend. Timmy Jones, my bro Timmy Jones, is Du Plessis Corifi an All Black number 7? Yes, 100% yes. So far this season, 39 tackles, 1 try, 116 carry meters, 6 offloads, and a whole lot of dog. Balls. I think if he fixes up his discipline in the regards to, like, you know, the yellows and things like that, that kind of also kind of counter that with the fact that his maturity as a captain has grown a lot. If he's watched the way he speaks to referees now, in comparison to some of his behavior in the past couple of years, he's really turned the corner here. And I think in 2025, he's going to wrap up a lot of that, people judging his performances and underestimating him. So I think he's there, bro. I think he will be an All Black number 7 one day. He's obviously got to go against some of his own players in his team with guys like Peter Lakai, but I think he's right there. If you watch those All Blacks 15 games last year, who was right there at every ruck? Du Plessis Corifi, he was running. Du Plessis Corifi, he was getting those turnovers. Du Plessis Corifi, he's right there. He's an All Black 7. He will always be right there in the lineups when it comes to questions about who should be in that jersey. So, just answer that question plain and simply to me. Du Plessis Corifi is 100% a All Blacks number 7. All right, thanks for tuning in, family. So whatever you're listening to this in, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anything like that, can you go to give us a good rating? Obviously, you can click that little star, give it 5 stars, and leave a review. That would be huge. And considering this is the first episode, if you enjoyed this little bit of content, please flick me a message. That would be huge. I don't care if you're new, I don't know you or whatever. Just flick me a message. That support would be huge for me. So I know that I'm on the right track in regards to content that you guys want. Any feedback, etc., let me know. Don't be sad, because just remember, this is my first episode. I'm still getting used to this whole thing. It's only March, so, you know, by December, by the end of the season, hopefully I'm up to scratch in regards to, like, a normal podcast and quality-wise. But, yeah, give me a message. That would be huge. I'll be excited to hear what you guys think about the Wednesday wrap. And I'm open to, you know, all types of feedback, unless you're going to just straight roast me, because that is straight dog. I just want you guys to get your times worth for tuning in to the Hurt Locker. So yeah, send me a message, give us a rating, and follow us on Instagram and all the platforms we have here on the Hurt Locker. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. That's the end of the Hurt Locker's first weekly wrap.